Today's guest is Dr. Aaron Scherger, a researcher and assistant professor at the Institute of Interdisciplinary Brain and Behavioral Sciences, well known for his research relating to free will. Aaron Scherger's research attracted attention when Aaron and his colleagues showed that Libet's famous studies on free will weren't showing what they were originally assumed to be demonstrating. This brought the nature of free will, or volition, back into question for many neuroscientists and psychologists who had previously taken a deterministic perspective, assuming that Libet's studies had found conclusively that we do not have anything resembling conscious volition. Today we will discuss Aaron's research and what it could mean about free will. Aaron Scherger, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Can you give us a bit of background on what the previous assumptions were regarding Libet's research and how you found a way to challenge those assumptions?
Yeah, absolutely. The assumption that's been in the air for decades, actually, in neuroscience and in this area of neuroscience research is just that, to put it in a simple way, your brain has made up its mind before you have. That's the essence of it. And maybe I'll unpack that a bit. The idea is that every time you consciously make a decision and subsequently act, in fact, your brain has already made that decision up to a second in advance of the moment that you feel consciously that you've made the decision. The details can vary, but that's the gist of the idea that's been in the air since the 1980s. Yeah. And that really is traced back to the research of Benjamin Libet, who published a seminal study that's been infamous and controversial to this day in 1983, which suggested just that, and it showed that brain activity that reliably precedes a freely emitted or spontaneously emitted voluntary action begins ramping up to a half a second or even a second before you're conscious of your decision or urge to initiate that action.
And what does your model of decision making argue in regard to a human's conscious decision or urge to move?
Well, what we've shown is that buildup, which is in fact a very reliable finding. So I haven't or won't challenge that. It's very reliable. If you do the experiment, you get that result. What we really changed was how we think we should interpret that result. What does it mean? It was taken to mean that something had been decided, that when this buildup towards movement, this buildup of brain activity towards movement began, that reflected your brain having made some sort of a decision. Your brain having, and let me put it into different words, that reflected your brain having made a commitment to act. And it certainly looks like that when you look at a graph of, now this particular pattern of brain activity is called the readiness potential. And it was originally discovered by German researchers, Kornhuber and Deka, in the 1960s, and it's called the Bereitschafts potential in German. That particular signal starts building up, as I mentioned, up to a half a second or even a second before you initiate the action. What we've shown or what we've demonstrated with a computational model is that such a buildup doesn't necessarily have to reflect a commitment. It doesn't have to reflect your brain or any system for that matter getting ready for something. It doesn't have to represent something that is intentional or purposeful. It can actually reflect what I call a reliable accident.
So what's your conclusion after looking at the available evidence? Does the question of whether or not we have free will remain a mystery?
Well, in my mind, yes, it's really still a mystery. It has not been, it certainly hasn't, the question of whether or not there's free will, that hasn't been answered by any means. Yeah. What we've shown is that buildup towards an action is something that can happen when there's a natural ebb and flow of brain activity in the background. And that when you're given an instruction, like ones that are given in this kind of a psychology task, where you're asked to make a spontaneous voluntary movement, you're asked, as Libet asked when he did his famous experiments back in the 1980s, he asked his subjects, quote unquote, be spontaneous. So initiate a movement at a sort of a random time without intending to in advance. So surprise yourself, in a sense. And what interested me was the fact that, well, this is a silly kind of instruction. It's a very strange task, but subjects can do it. And the question in my mind was how? And one answer was that your brain, perhaps when given that kind of instruction, in order to comply, your brain makes use of its own internal noise. It's the ongoing noisy ebb and flow of brain activity in your motor system. So in order to comply with the task instructions, one might, for example, boost motor cortical activity up a little bit closer to the threshold for action, and then wait for a random threshold crossing. Now, if you do that, and you align the data to the moment at which the movement began, you will indeed see a buildup. But that buildup doesn't reflect a commitment, necessarily reflect an intentional process that's directed at initiating that movement. What came out of Libet's study was this idea, well, that's it, that settles it. And subsequent research as well contributed to the idea that, well, it's pretty much settled. Your brain decides before you do. Free will doesn't make sense in the first place, and this just kind of confirms that and sort of puts the last nail in the coffin. What we've shown is there's an alternative explanation for that kind of finding that is consistent with at least the possibility that the conscious decision to move and the actual commitment of the brain to initiating the movement might happen at the very same time and reflect one and the same neural event.
Are you expecting to release any books or online courses in the future? And where can listeners follow you?
Yes. In fact, we have a book coming out very soon that I'm a part of. It's been co-authored by a group of us, a group of philosophers and neuroscientists, and it's called Free Will, Philosophers and Neuroscientists in Conversation. And this has been edited by my colleagues Uri Maoz and Walter Sinnott Armstrong. And that is due out sometime later this year. I'm also in the early stages of working on a book describing research on free will, and in particular the modern history of research on free will, and how our view on it has changed in recent years.
Yeah. How can listeners keep updated about that? Do you have a social media account? Or
I have to admit, I'm kind of behind the curve when it comes to social media.
Yeah, okay. You must be busy with all your research, I suppose.
Busy with research, yeah. So I don't, but that book I highly recommend. It was a very fun book to be a part of, and I think it will be a very fun book to read.
And that's on Amazon, is it?
It will be available.
Will be
available on Amazon, and it's published by Oxford University Press.
Right. Okay, listeners can find more interviews with Aaron Scherger on YouTube, and if this topic interests you, I've posted another recording on free will here on my own channel. It's an extract from my recent book, Existential Questions. Aaron Scherger, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.